Coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
I'm not going to ruin this, but the post-credit scene in Deadpool and Wolverine is so mind-blowing. That's a unique tweet from a Scooper account mm-hmm. who loves to tweet out...
Spoilers.
Yes.
What could be this mind-blowing that even the people who want... who have a career, quote unquote, spoiling things for, you know, big IP, like, don't want to say anything about it.
Welcome back to The Break Room. Do news outlets already know what the Deadpool post-credit scene is?
I hope not.
Me too. It's Monday headlines. Hit that graphic.
H-E-A-D-L-E-I-N-E-S. Nope.
Every time.
I didn't stick the landing. I started strong. Lost it at lines.
I'm Zach Huddleston. Thrilled to be here today on a Monday Break Room. With me, to my immediate left, Maude Garrett's here. Two R's, two T's.
Two R's, two T's.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, there it is.
Wait, can I have that back again, please? You missed me. And I want to try.
There's your answer. And then super producer Evan, sometimes known as Spevin.
Okay, great. All right, we'll take it all the way back. Take it all the way back.
Nope.
All right, well, Brian, no clean cut points.
You know what? I'd like to call him on-screen Evan today, or O-Evan.
O-Evan?
Put me back in the can.
Call back to a Twitch only joke. So coming up on today's show, Joe Mufasa,
that's
the trailer.
In-joke.
It's a very deep cut in joke. I work at this company. I did not know that joke until it was explained to me 2 minutes ago. The hot new X-Men 97 trailer. I mean, they're doing great work on that show and they're doing great work on this trailer. And the return. We missed it last week because of the Deadpool trailer. And the week before, the Mod Monday Minute.
Making its
triumphant return. Let's start with one of the most anticipated comic book movies of the year, okay? I've been talking about this movie nonstop. Every time I see a nose get bitten off, I talk about this movie, okay?
How often does that happen?
Well, surprisingly often.
Round up. What would the number be?
Double digits, minimum. When you watch the kind of YouTube videos I do, the release date for Kraven has been pushed.
Oh, file that under something I didn't see coming.
The movie will now be releasing December 13th, 2024. It's Christmas for Kraven.
I actually, the marketing, I think the team sold them on that. They're just like, or Christmas with Kraven. And they were like, sold, done, December release.
Yeah.
Kraven that Christmas. Well, no, because it's all about holidays. No, okay, maybe not.
Well, and so a quick reminder of the timeline of this movie. We first saw a trailer for this movie over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
He's been sitting in that chair for a while.
Yes.
Yeah,
the movie was delayed. It was originally going to come out January of 2023. Is that what you have?
Yes, January 2023. That's a long time.
So we probably saw a trailer for this in 2022. Can that be right? No.
No, I don't think so, because I think this was the original date. Oh. They pushed it already.
Okay, it had already been pushed by the time we saw a trailer, it had already been pushed to late last year. It was going to be November, I think, of last year, right? Yeah, then it got pushed to August of this year. Mm-hmm. Now it is being pushed to December of this year.
Yeah, I was really excited to see it for my birthday. It was going to be right after my birthday in August. I was going to, you know, I was craving for Kraven. I got the Kraven Hunter.
That was so disrespectful to Evan.
Yes.
Like, were you not taking that into consideration? At all. It was his birthday.
Very disrespectful. Now, no real reason was given. Yeah. Obviously, some of those delays, delay to August of this year was writer strike related, we believe.
Yeah.
Or actor strike, they weren't going to be able to promote it.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
But we don't know what the source of this particular delay is.
Apart from Kraven Christmas.
Kraven Christmas is a great marketing tie-in. I mean, maybe it's just like getting out of the way of the other big summer films.
Or are they waiting for... Taylor, what's his name?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Thank you. Yeah. To be Bond.
Oh. And they think that news might come out then?
That hype, star power rising.
Yeah.
He's one of the leading candidates, according to some recent reporting. And now, I believe this is now leapfrogging Venom 3 as well, right? Like, this was going to be coming out before Venom, which is an October release? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
And now it will be coming out after. So maybe that's related to that. Probably not. Venom, The Last Dance.
Yeah, I guess maybe like, well, it's still a three month difference, right? August to October versus October to December. It's just, it is very interesting, like, why push that movie and not slide both of them further, right? Sure. Like, the leapfrogging is interesting. Like, why not push Venom to be Christmas, which is, like, a little bit more celebrated? Like, people kind of have, like dumb fun at those movies, right? But then...
Last Dance sounds very prom-oriented, though.
Right, yeah. Tom Hardy is going to be, you know, in the press. But, like, yeah, I don't... It's very interesting.
We don't know. Maybe they also just want to get this movie as far away from Madam Web as possible and the general box office hubbub around that film, possibly.
Yeah. What do you think the Venom Last Dance is about? I don't think they've danced at all except Mobius.
That's right.
His name?
It's not a dance-centered franchise. It's not like
Why
a Step
is it
Up or
the Last Dance. It does sound like it's an alternative title of Step Up 14, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they might. It might be like a Venom and Eddie Brock like breakup thing, kind of in a sense, right? Like there's reading of the movie where you can view it as like a relationship, like allegory in general, and it could be the two of them separating. It's just like, all right. I can't host the symbiote anymore. Like it's too much for me, and he's gotta like, you know, let
him
fly.
Well, he better dance that symbiote out of his system. I want to see moves. If you're gonna call it The Last Dance.
Yes.
Ooh.
Also, yeah. We might be getting a Venom trailer
soon.
Yeah, I guess you know, maybe not quite yet. We haven't started getting fall movie trailers, but I'd love to see it. Speaking of trailers. Mm-hmm. We also had some more jokes kind of at the expense of Craven, but let's go ahead and skip those.
I'm craving some humor.
There you go.
Zach really said, yeah, Evan can't yes and today. We got it. All the comedy is out the window.
No. We have a winner.
We said enough times.
I'm all about yes anding, yeah. Evan. I'm on record, I believe, as yes anding your yes anding. But we got a Mufasa first trailer today.
Mm-hmm. Explain the Joe Mufasa in joke.
Yes. So at D23 last year, Eric Voss was tweeting kind of the news as it came out, the different trailers and clips and things like that. And there was like an autocorrect mistake where he tweeted out footage from Joe Mufasa played. He didn't realize it until much later, until people were like screen grabbing it and sending it back to him and being like, what the hell is Joe Mufasa? So we've just decided to make that canon. And now the character's first name is Joe. It goes unsaid in the movie, but
he loves it. The exact tweet that went out was, director Barry Jenkins describes Mufasa, the real journey of Joe Mufasa found himself in the circle of life. So Eric is busy trying to write these tweets. He's trying to get it grammatically correct. And the internet totally screwed up and his phone auto-corrected to Joe Mufasa.
It's worth noting the Joe is lowercase.
Eric's busy like, can anyone give me a cup of Joe? And that's how often it's going through.
Joe Mufasa.
What a fitting name for our future, once in future Lion King. Why don't we go ahead and play that trailer?
Yeah. Oh yeah, full screen for us. That's right.
Ooh.
You have to.
That sting.
Bubbly cinema. Come on.
The icy.
Ooh.
This story. We're gonna get a saber tooth? No, he's not that old. We cool it. Because it's Ice Age.
That's very Disney's Animal Kingdom looking tree there.
Oh yeah. Rafiki.
The hyenas are back. We got the looming vultures. And we got a rock. Nobility in his blood.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, I like that teardrop shot.
What do we think of the CGI?
I mean, shots like this look great. That looks incredible. Yeah. Some of the movement's a little tough, but that looks pretty good, actually, I thought.
I think, but
That. Ooh, I mean, the water stuff looks great, I think. Ooh.
Ooh. That closet was funny.
Timon and Pumbaa's origin story, too.
Whoa. They'd be really young. They'd be babies.
They would be babies.
Yeah.
But they're in it, right? It's Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner are in it.
Oh my gosh, does that mean we're going to get the moment when he was a young warthog?
Oh gosh,
now that I am a young warthog!
His character-defining moment that made him the outcast that he is.
Yeah.
Because of his gaseous outbursts.
Do we know who Mads Mikkelsen's playing?
Let's see.
I'm guessing the evil-looking guy.
Yeah, whatever
he's like playing. Today's Jeremy Irons, you know? Yes. Yeah.
I literally almost typed Mads Mikkelsen, Joe Mufasa playing in Google. Like, it is so ingrained in my head to call Mufasa Joe Mufasa for no reason. Literally, I wasn't even here when that happened. I heard Ari tell the story once, and I just keep calling that. I don't think we know yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They haven't announced. I think that even in the summary that's been released, like, it says that, you know, he goes on this journey to fight this, you know, adversary that they haven't even really named yet.
What else could the plot be, though?
Yeah.
Well, it feels like, so the kind of deadline summary here is, the film sees the baboon Rafiki to relay the legend of Mufasa to his granddaughter Kiara. The story will be told in flashbacks and follows Mufasa as an orphan cub lost and alone until he meets a sympathetic lion named Taka, the heir to a royal bloodline. It could be a Prince and the Pauper type situation where they swap roles. They decide that what they like, what they don't like about their lives, and maybe that's kind of like what happens.
In the beginning of that, Rafiki is relaying it to the granddaughter of Mufasa, not to Rafiki's granddaughter.
Yeah. Simba's daughter, I believe. Okay. Yes, yeah.
Setting up a Lion Queen threequel.
Yeah, I think so.
I know that we've got some casting, and some of the bigger casting news is the fact that they are introducing Blue Ivy Carter as a voice, and Beyonce will be reprising her role. But if we're going into prequel territory, does this mean that Blue is playing her mum's mum?
Blue Ivy is playing Kiara, so would be the daughter of Nala. It's like the
keeping it canon. Beyonce's daughter plays her character's daughter. Cool.
What do we think of that nepotism, everyone? Let us know in the comments.
I think that's
should be nothing but positivity. We were talking while watching that, right? This is a fully digital film or CGI, however you want to say it. Though it is, there's been a little debate in the office, like, does this count as live action?
No, it doesn't. It's CGI completely.
Well, then do you count, like, Marvel movies as live action?
When there's actual characters.
But there's also long scenes that are fully CGI.
They're on set acting.
But because some scenes contain actual humans, even if other scenes don't contain any actual humans, you think it counts as live action?
I do. And are there people on set in their spots doing CGI movement?
I don't believe so in these.
Yeah, films. I don't know if there's
motion. There's no Andy Serkis type. Yeah.
The Jungle Book? Technically live action, because there is a live actor in those scenes, even though everything else is CGI. I think this is where it got blurry, because this is like the big hubbub that we had a few years ago, where Disney was bringing all of their very long-standing original animated movies to life. And we had Beauty and the Beast do that. We had a Cinderella, Aladdin, and then Lion King was also thrust in there, and we kept calling it live action until it's like, ain't nothing that live about it.
Yeah, it's tough, and I also feel like it's like this weird, like, uncanny valley too of the animation, right? When you try so hard to make it look realistic, and then it's like we were remarking on some of like how that looked. Like, some of it looked really good, and some of it feels like, like in the wide shots, you were remarking that it was like not looking like great for you. And I think that's it's like this weird, like, building out this expanse and just like.
Well, apparently, animation studios, when there's a lot of CGI and it's CGI heavy, they will pick and choose the shots that they want to invest in because they want it to impact and they want it to look good. So sometimes when it's just a bit of a rush and it's not a pivotal moment in the script, they're not going to put as much attention into that.
Sure. Like in real animation or in cell animation or whatever. Yeah. And I also think, like, this kind of film doesn't always make for a great trailer, where you can really pick apart individual shots, and they're maybe, whereas, like, if you're sitting there for 90 minutes, you kind of give yourself over to the look and the feel of it. Maybe it's a little easier to go along with it. I have a very quick anecdote. So I know somebody who works in early production on this film and, like, the design. They normally work in, like, practical, like, art department for film, but they worked on this, like, designing, like, the grass and the trees and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They described, like, the process for this was, like, very kind of futuristic, and they did it mostly in, like, VR headsets, right? Like, I'm going to move this animal here and move this tree here and whatever. But apparently, you're not really meant to spend hours and hours and hours in a VR headset. And so, like, almost every day, everybody would throw up.
You okay? Oh,
because you just get so nauseous in this kind of, you know, virtual space for your entire workday.
Yeah. Right? That's like when people spend all day on green screen sets and they leave and they like can't see green like for a little bit because they're like, their eyes are kind of like all burned out from like just the overwhelmingness. But like that's on a next level, right? Of being like, like tossed around. Not your gaming in the chat says Lion King was filmed in the Unreal Engine 5. They had actual cameramen filming in VR pretty much.
Yeah, wow.
So it could be that they've animated scenes and had cameramen like kind of like do different angles and shots in
that.
Which
is how they shoot Avatar, if I'm not mistaken. Is it that kind of thing? So when the camera's in there, there's already animation rendered within the camera, so you're shooting it as if it's already in there. Yeah,
I think on the second Avatar they were able to see more of that, so it wasn't all just like okay, motion capture with nothing behind them. We could at least see how they interact with the environment. But hey, I mean,
what do we think? Are we? Where's our hype level for this one? Are you?
You know, this movie has the potential to be the biggest movie of the year.
Yeah.
I think it's like right up there with Deadpool and Wolverine. No, honestly, the first one made $1 billion, right? The first one
did
was.
Not. It How did? Much did it make?
Let's see.
I need evidential proof, thank you.
It was incredibly profitable.
I thought it was it was received in a mediocre capacity. Yeah. It was not. We were not riding home about it.
Yeah, $1 billion, 1.6.
Shut.
1.6 billion.
Nostalgia.
That's damn near $2 billion. Take your Barbies. Take your Oppenheimers. It's all about Lion King.
Joe Mufasa.
All right. And then we got on a kind of a very different end of the animation spectrum. We got a final trailer, as they say, heading into the last two episodes.
I thought it was three.
X-Men 97.
Yeah, last three episodes.
Last three, thank you.
That's why you have me here.
Ten episodes in this season.
Every now and then I'll get one.
So it's our three quarters trailer or something like that.
But I think the final trailer, because like each episode is supposed to be like part one, part two, part three of a big finale.
The final arc of the season.
Yeah.
And there's some new footage, some older footage too in this, as it's kind of a recap of what we've seen so far.
So don't get confused if you've already seen Rogue freaking out because she's freaked out already.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless she's gonna freak out again.
Oh, new freaks?
New freaks?
Please use their name. They're X-Men.
Oh, God.
You were my first students. My family.
Hi, Scott.
I wanted you to be free. Help build a world.
So somber.
Where mutants could live however they wish.
Okay, hello, outfit.
No, we have not seen that footage because that's her new outfit, right? She hasn't really rejoined the team.
Yeah, that's probably new. But that is new, sorry. Him wiping.
Yeah, it's like him dusting off the old chair.
We have to be strong.
Madeline.
For the team.
What? Okay, more Nightcrawler is always a win.
Now, this is a new scene.
Yeah.
Oh, because we haven't even really seen Sunspot use his powers yet.
Yeah.
That's from the last episode.
Which feels like eons ago.
I know. Like that costume of Jean Grey's. It looks like she's wearing flesh-colored skin.
This is obviously from the first episode.
Okay, what's going on with
this?
Vibranium? Adamantium?
Yeah. Whatever. Oh, no, you charged Gambit, charged it up.
Oh, that's sexy. The shield!
Storm from her life death. So that's new. So
this is
I don't know who
these
kids are.
This is older. People?
Whoever put swords in Nightcrawler's hands.
Entrusted me with his dream. Everything he built.
Because they look, or maybe they're like college kids.
Previously had daggers.
To me.
Oh, the helmet's on.
Mine. X-Men.
Yes, 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 yes. Hello, Bishop. No, wait, this is the funniest part.
Going to war or a circus? What'd you expect? Black leather?
Ooh!
Got him!
All the Prime Sentinels right there.
Yes.
I mean.
Okay, we've got to talk about the Fox burn. Because I feel like it's like what, 14 plus years in the making for that one? And it's like the inverse of what they said in the movie.
Yeah, that's so fun. I wouldn't have even thought to like do that as like a callback, but that's great. Like just to be like, yeah, let's own the what the X-Men look like, right?
Yeah.
Brian singing more like Brian singed after that one. I didn't think about that one before I said it.
We're talking the opposite. It's a great trailer. Like again, it kind of takes you low to kind of remind you of like a lot of the sad things that have particularly happened over the last two or three episodes, right? And we're kind of meeting them at their nadir, at their low point, heading into the big final climactic action of the season.
I wish, though, if we've only got 10 episodes, stop making filler episodes. Bring us with the goods. There was a filler episode of the video game one with Jubilee.
It was technically half of an episode, but it was very filler.
I think it was important to give Jubilee her kind of own story, though, there. And I think it was, like, an important, like, lesson with the whole series where it's, like, you can't live in, like, this past of, like, what you have established yourselves to be, right? Like, things change, people change. And it's like, all right, well, it's like time to grow up, right? I don't know if the episode really worked on all those levels, but I think I appreciated the message of that.
Yes.
Or we could have had way more smoochies with Jean and Wolfie.
Yep.
Give me that. Give me more of that.
I think that Motendo episode will look better if that like pays off in more ways.
Yeah.
I would love to see that come back and have some other impact, right? Mm-hmm. If that is literally all we see of that character in that world this season, that'll be a little strange.
But, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, look dope. And there's a lot of, there's some little kind of teases. You already mentioned the Sentinel Primes that are kind of just glimpsed at the end. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I also think, like, we've seen Magneto at the UN before, but not wearing the inhibitor collar,
so
right?
That
so that's
at,
new footage, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the last episode, Bastion has him with the, spoilers, Bastion has him with the collar and he's shaving him. So we know Magneto's like hanging out or like he's alive. And it'll be interesting to see how long Magneto stays within Bastion's capture and like what his angle is. Like what is he trying to use Magneto for something specific or just like to make an example of him? If like, all right, if there's no Charles Xavier, if he's the new leader of the mutants, like,
I think Charles is coming back.
Yeah,
right.
He was my first student.
Yeah.
He ain't done.
Charles is coming back. Storm is coming back. As of now, she still hasn't rejoined the X-Men, right?
But we saw her going up to probably Jubilee and
probably saving Jubilee and Sunspot or something.
Saving their plot. Lack of plot.
And then also Cable's coming back.
Yeah, give me some Cable.
Last we saw him accidentally getting sucked back into the future the beginning of the Genosha.
And then he's there too when at the end of the last episode with because he stops the Prime Sentinel from killing whoever they're about to kill.
That's right.
Or neutralizing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then it's like, also, I just expected him to vanish again because he's always vanishing in something.
Ex-showrunner. Because he's still the showrunner of this season.
Yeah.
Just not of going forward.
I thought he did one season.
Yeah,
he did
two.
And then Bo DeMeo has been tweeting through it. He tweeted out a few episodes from the original actual 90s run of the show that, you know, for your reference heading into these final episodes of this season, like, hey, if you want to catch up or know what we're going to be referencing, he tweeted these out. And Evan, you kind of went through and watched some of the recaps of these episodes and can kind of speak on what
they are. I'm excited to watch them in full, but One Man's Worth, so part one and part two, that's season four, episode 9 and 10. That's kind of about Magneto and the Asteroid M saga and how Cortez kind of betrayed him and you know, them kind of like deciding to do away with Asteroid M as a concept. Apocalypse getting Cortez. Cortez is a very interesting character in the comics, not right now, but like in the Krakoa arc, so I'm very interested to see if he comes back. I doubt it. But the Asteroid M, the idea of like this home for mutants, I think is probably what Bo is referencing. Sanctuary, part one, part two, season four, episode 3 and 4. That's a whole like time travel thing with Storm and Wolverine and these kind of like parallel timelines, them working with mutants from the future, who's like selling mutants out to work for Nimrod. Just, I think, the idea of Nimrod and like going back and forth and creating multiple timelines, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where the rest of the season goes. Descent, season 5, episode 9. This is like Mr. Sinister's kind of origin story. And
I wish we get that in this show though.
Yeah, and I
want to know our villain.
Yeah, and I think
the best villain is one that's already dimensional, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's been an interesting thing with the season overall, where we were kind of like expecting Sinister to be this big villain. And in actuality, it feels like, you know, they're not really fighting villains. They're fighting these problems within themselves and that they have with society, which I think is a really strong part of the X-Men story. Okay. And I think it's like a nice way to like kind of reframe things. But when you're like kind of teasing this big villain, you would like to know a little bit more about them in the context of the show you're getting.
I would also like more Cable moments with his parents, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, the only other time I've really seen something like that was in Doctor Who with River Song. And I just think it's like cool for it to be an exciting premise, but mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, it's always with these shorter episodes, it's like, you know, a conversation to understand how yeah. you're feeling about this huge thing would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we don't, is Madeline still MIA at this yeah. point? We don't know if she was killed in Genosha or not.
I think it's like highly suspected that she did not survive, mm-hmm. but we don't know for sure.
You don't have 2-3 episodes with a character like that and yeah. then not know if she did.
And not yeah. give her like an on-screen death, like exactly. Gambit got, yeah. right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
100%.
Spoiler.
And then the last episode that Bo said to check out is The Final Decision, season 1, episode 13. Very funny that he kind of is jumping around mm-hmm. all of the seasons. But season 1, episode 13, that's the season finale, I believe, of the first season, where the Sentinels kind of rise up against the humans in a way. Like, they're just like, okay, humans, we followed your order, but it doesn't make sense for us to protect you from mutants because you are all human. Interesting kind of like parlance and like how you want to think about that, but I think it's supposed to say you're all like humanity overall, not like you know, Homo superior versus Homo sapien, right?
Yeah, us and them.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch all those episodes and yeah. kind of like get a, especially, you know, 2 days away from this finale kicking off. So I can't wait to see it.
And I'm glad that you're doing it for all of us as well.
Do you think the show will stick the landing?
Hell yeah.
If they can just harness what episode 5 is all about, that's the benchmark. That's the gripping episode that I, you know, you can't show that you've got that capacity, that you're capable of something like that, and yeah. then it just being a one-off. It's like, you've shown us how good it can get. Keep it up, please. So I have faith.
I saw Kotaku or some online publisher called this the best X-Men adaptation ever.
Well, I mean, you got to look at what we've had.
But I mean, you'd put this ahead of Logan, you'd put this ahead of X-Men First Class, I mean, there have been a lot of X-Men adaptations, you know?
I like Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I do not like Apocalypse.
I think it's like, having the series run and being able to use the X-Men to talk about kind of like real world events, I think is really interesting, right? Yeah. It's like that's the best that you can hope for from like a mainstream.
In the cartoonness of it all, mm-hmm. as we were kind of joking about with the costumes, what are you going to do, black leather, right? Yeah. Like, they're allowed to very literally adapt comic books in ways that just don't work as yeah. well with right. actual live action human actors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These outfits, I mean, that Storm outfit on a human woman, though tantalizing, would seem strange. That's all I'm saying, right?
Like, yep.
Stop putting Jean Grey in flesh-colored material if it looks like she's not wearing pants. On behalf of
it
all
is
women.
True. It's always yeah. shocking to, yes.
Yeah. yeah. You're like, Jean, how quickly did you have to get ready? Did you forget your pants? Oh, it's just
she got the headband, but she yeah. did not cover the torso. Yeah. We want to shout out and thank one of our sponsors, Kalshi. Sponsors our Monday episodes every week. They're the first legal financial exchange in the U.S. where you can bet on any event, including Rotten Tomatoes scores. Deadpool and Wolverine's Rotten Tomatoes score, being above 90, is currently trading at 33 cents. So if you think it will be above 90 for 33 cents, you can buy the yes on that. If it comes in, you get a dollar. Now, if it comes in under 90, you get nothing. That's probably the bet I will take, and I will probably lose. I don't have a great track record on Kalshi so far. Evan and I go back and forth. We often go opposite directions. Evan's usually right. I saw there was a fun one on there today. Will Coyote versus Acme get a public release this year?
This year?
Now, the upside to that is I think that's an easy no.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Max, I don't think Warner can release it. They took a tax write-off, so you can't release it.
I will say, the people that made that movie need a win. And if this is the win that they get, then so be it.
But you can choose whether you think that will happen or not. Now, the downside of that is you have to wait till the end of the year. I had to wait till the end of March to get my Will of Dune threequel get announced.
We both lost out on that one. But I'm playing a lot of long game ones, too. I bought some shares and will TikTok get banned? And I do think it will get banned, but...
You don't
actually,
know until...
Yeah. Well, we'll cut that out. We'll just say I've been playing some long game ones. And we'll come back in.
Well, another long game. Will Lady Gaga get a Best Actress nomination for Joker, Folie à Deux?
Yeah, those are some interesting ones. Get in early.
Now, you're going to have to wait till late this year or early next year whenever they announce Oscar nominations. But Kalji has a ton of different markets, not just the pop culture ones we're talking about. You can bet on like economic stuff, sports, all that kind of stuff, tech, and more. Sign up by going to kalshi.com/breakroom, the URL that's on the screen. The first 500 traders to make a deposit of $50 will get a free $20 credit. Thank you to Kalshi for sponsoring the show. And we want to shout out nerdriot.shop, our merch partners. Evan's wearing one of our all-time best, the Portal.
Oh yeah, we're rocking two all-time best.
Yeah, this is another.
Today.
I'm wearing the Rocket Raccoon. Yeah. This is this shirt was recently re-released in a comfort color.
Oh, nice.
What color is comfort these days?
It's this blue, baby.
That
and it's
feels
more about
that.
It's a garment dyed fabric mod, and what that means is, you know, often they when you make a normal T-shirt, this was all explained to me. I did not know a lot of this information until recently. When you make a normal T-shirt, you dye the thread. They use the thread to make the shirt. These shirts, they make the shirt, then they dye the shirt. Mm-hmm. I believe I might be getting that reversed. Correct me in the chat. But because of that, you get a different look, and it's definitely a different feel. It's like a heavier feel. This is like the cool streetwear clothing brands all do this style.
Mm-hmm.
All the fellow high school students and myself, we all wear these kinds of shirts.
Zach, you're so cool.
Thank you, Mons.
Cool.
Speaking of comfort color tees, that's what all the break room shirts
are.
That's
right.
People, thank you. If you're in the chat and you've bought some break room merch, thank you so much. Hey, take a picture, tweet it at us.
Yes. In fact, we're gonna do this summer as people go on summer vacations. If you go to a monument, a theme park, if you're in front of a cool thing, and you happen to be wearing a break room shirt. Take a picture. You can crop out your head. Who cares? Send us that picture. We will put your picture on the break room.
Yeah. What about next to your favorite movie poster when you go into the cinema to watch something cool?
Yeah. That's even better. That's
there
a much
go.
Better idea than what
I'm
just proposed.
It on
yes.
brand.
You can leave
yes.
your face yep. in. You could. You can cover it with an emoji. You can cut out my face, like with a sticker on phones. You know how people do that?
And or cover it up. How this about is. You look in the mirror and you go, "Ooh, I look good today. I'm gonna show the world of what I was given, and I'm proud of it." How about a little bit
that
of that?
Too. That.
How about a little self-confidence? Because you know what? You look great today.
Thank you.
Thomas. Anyways,
Check out all of our designs. We've got some great Deadpool-inspired and X-Men 97 designs over at nerdriot.shop. Now. Let's get
now.
To...
Me?
Wow.
The Mod Monday Minute!
Time has flown today, I just gotta say.
Me! No, sorry.
No, please, take it away.
Hi, Mod Monday Minute is back. We had a couple of weeks off. I know, it was sad, but I'm gonna give you all the headlines that didn't make it into this show. Now, when I looked at the script 40 minutes before I came in today, this was not in it, I don't think. So I'll be reading this for the first time live. Let's see how I go. Can I have my 60 seconds, please? I got headlines to read. Alrighty, don't forget that the Tales of the Empire is coming out on Saturday, May the 4th. A 6-episode animated series about Baris Offee and Morgan Elspeth. Now, why is Baris Offee important? Because it's like barista coffee. But it's not. She was in the Clone Wars. On the topic of Fortnite players rejoice, Chewbacca and Lando Calrissian are being added to the game ahead of an event to celebrate May the 4th, with more details still to come. Can we just keep him with the crossbow bandolier? Yeah. Fallout is one of Prime Video's most successful shows, with 65 million viewers globally in its first 16 days, only behind Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, for views in that same amount of time. Ooh. Netflix is developing a live-action Scooby-Doo series with Warner Brothers Television. with the industry veteran Greg Berlanti as one of the producers. Now, Evan's new favorite movie, I feel like this is a confession, Challengers, led the box office over the weekend, earning $15 million, a testament to the film and also the star power of Zendaya, her cast, and the director, Luca Guadagnino.
I think we ran out of time.
Oh, no.
We did.
That was great. The last Monday minute.
Chris Hemsworth doing Extraction 3. There you go.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah. Because I think he signed a contract.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so there have been some kind of rumors. All that anybody can talk about right now is Deadpool and Wolverine right after that trailer drop last week. We've all been speculating. On April 24th, My Time to Shine Hello, a well-known Scooper account, tweeted out, OMG, this is too good. I'm not going to ruin this, but the post-credit scene in Deadpool and Wolverine is so mind-blowing. I can't believe they were able to pull this off without anyone knowing.
What is the point of saying anything at all?
It's great.
I know something you don't know.
It's also, that's a unique tweet from a Scooper account who loves to tweet out
spoilers.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think, I respect that they don't want to ruin this particular moment, but what you've ended up doing is because you're saying that you know something that someone else doesn't know, that is going to motivate people to find out what it is because you've dangled the carrot.
Great point. Mm. Great point. Deadpool creator and comic artist Rob Liefeld, who got referenced in that most recent trailer, replied to that tweet saying they're not wrong.
So now everyone wants to know what's going on because some people do know and then majority of people don't know. Let me know in the comments, do you want to go completely spoiler free or are you the kind of person that wants to know ahead of time just so it doesn't get spoiled for you?
Oh,
which it
you can't
could do.
You can't spoil me if I spoil myself?
That's it. If I know it first, then I've learnt on my terms. Or should everyone STFU about this whole thing?
Yes.
Let us know.
I'm sure a lot of people have already made that comment in our comment section the second they saw the thumbnail for this video, probably. Alex Perez on April 26th tweeted, Scoopers know what's being rumored about it. Trades know about it too. Everyone is just waiting to see who fires the first shot that teases or reveals it so they can talk about it. I'm not gonna do it. Mm. This kind of reminds me of some of the Spider-Man No Way Home. Mm. There were people that had that early, and some people didn't believe them, and some people kind of like got very angry that they got that spoiled, different things like that. But we should just say that like nobody has said nobody has said that has seen the actual post-credit scene has said what it is. Even like deep Reddit or anything like that, it's just speculation and people saying it's incredible.
And we're not gonna tell you what it is. We don't know,
so we can't tell you anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before we started, like, it's gotta be something, what could be this mind-blowing that even the people who have a career, quote-unquote, spoiling things for, big IP, like, don't want to say anything about it.
It could that also be, like, even if you're My Time to Shine Hello, like, you realize, like, the backlash from you spoiling this
100%.
This many months out from the film coming out would be so bad that, like, it would harm your career.
Oh, that's true. Depending on what your real job is.
Disney has gotten very strict about any critic who does any spoiler. Mm. They get scratched off the list. Mm. They get, rebuked access.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't want to risk that either.
No.
Like, is one scoop going to cost you sort of the rest of your access? No.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep me in line. And it's to protect the audience.
And I do think that's funny that they say that the trades know. That first tweet, it was like, is that real? Like, what must it be that, like, if trades know?
Don't you think a movie like this that, like, and we've been talking about, like, what could this post-credit scene even be, right? Deadpool 2 had the wild post-credits where, like, he traveled and he killed his versions of himself and he killed himself before he could film Green Lantern. All this kind of crazy meta stuff happening with the Time Watch, right? Like, so we could just see more of that, but it would be strange in a movie we know is going to have tons of cameos, some of which you've already seen in the trailers, right? We know it will have multiverse hopping, most likely. The TVA is involved, all kinds of stuff. Like, what can you do in the post-credit scene that is so wild compared to what we know they're already doing in the film?
Yeah. I feel like they've secured someone that we just initially wrote off because there was no way.
Mm.
That's
oh.
someone that I think. That's yeah. that's what everyone would be like, whoa, I can't believe that.
There could be, it's like a huge name like Tom Cruise, as someone would be wild, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel so. We collected some theories from the chat.
Nice.
And I think there's like different levels of this too, right? A lot of people were saying like HBASO13, or sorry, not HBASO, like Bro King, 858, and E Boogs, among many others, saying Fantastic Four reveal, right? Mm. Something like that. We already know the casting, right? But something pre-casting announcement that could have been big for us. Is it in the same vein as what we were just talking about? What could be a casting or a character reveal that you guys think would like really notch the needle for people to say this?
And like, I think the timing of this film's release is interesting, right? July 26th, I believe, is the Deadpool and Wolverine release, right around San Diego Comic-Con time.
Same weekend.
Could we get, rather than Kevin Feige on stage being like, here's our slate for the movies, here's what Secret Wars or whatever.
Post-credit scene?
What if we get some of that? What if we get a new X-Men cast?
That's huge.
In like coming 2027 or something like that, right?
I mean, that's really interesting because that's like a huge group of people that if you could keep that many names quiet, that's big.
Yeah. That's big. And that's not just Charlize Theron showing up as Clea, a character most people don't recognize, or even Harry Styles showing up, right? Like, they are names that people know, not necessarily characters that like melt your brain, right? Mm-hmm. Most people then have to go to new rock stars and be like, who is Harry Styles playing, right? So I think something like that where it's a whole team and you kind of instantly recognize, ha, the dude with the glasses, the lady with the streak in her hair, whatever. That could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's also a way to break the fourth wall because it's technically just massive advertising. It's like in-game advertising.
I also think in a movie that we know is going to look back a lot, right? To Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, we've already heard about some other cameos, or we know so many other characters from the Fox universe are gonna show up from old movies. Mm-hmm. It would be cool to take the post-credit scene to look forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like a really bad comparison. I'll say it right now, it's a bad comparison, okay? So don't clip me out or whatever. But Zack Snyder's Justice League ends with a wild post-credit scene that sets them way off into the future. You see a team of people you didn't think would come together in a post-apocalyptic war, setting. Like, could it be something like that? That is just like, even beyond just like, oh, this is the setup for Secret Wars. What if this is in between, like, Avengers 5, Secret Wars, or like even further down where it's like, listen, the only thing that's gonna fix where we are at is if something better happens in the past.
Yeah.
Ooh. Something like, yeah.
I still think that Deadpool's going to be the connective tissue between introducing mutants into a Marvel world.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, he's the catalyst of like, oops, oh well, like, good luck with this moving forward. So like, that's the post-credit scene. That's why it packs a punch. That was my knee. Woo, she getting old. Crack.
So, Zach, you saw a rumor about Robert Downey Jr.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people, and this might just be, people on Reddit, instantly anytime they hear, like, mind-blowing post-credit, they throw out Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man is going to show up. There's this, again, unsourced rumor that, like, there's going to be a scene with Deadpool and Iron Man on Titan, which we were saying, like, so, like, Infinity War, but, like, why would you do that and not Endgame?
Yeah.
Is strange and makes me feel like, it also, right, however they shot this, even if there was somebody on set that day, it was like, oh, RDJ's here, it's green screen. They don't know what that's going to end up being, right? They might be just speculating, could be wrong. Who knows? There's been other speculation based on like some toy releases that Deadpool could end up on the bench with Old Man Cap from the end of Endgame.
I've been reporting on superhero news, my goodness, kind of like at least the last 9 years in a big capacity. The amount of times that toys have leaked something that was breaking an embargo or like revealing a crucial piece of information, it's always the toy companies. Figure your shit out.
It's wild. This is a very quick tangent, and it wasn't that much of a spoiler because it's a character we know is going to be in the film. But apparently McDonald's has already started to ship toys for Captain America. Brave New World next February. We had a viewer who works at a McDonald's was like, we just got our toys in and sent us a picture. And I'm like, That movie doesn't come out till February. Yeah. Why do you even have these toys right now? That's
who
wild.
The toys? Take a photo.
It was a Red Hulk figure, which again is something that has already been leaked by other toys.
Yeah.
And we already know is going to be featured in that movie. But it's wild how far in advance. And some of this, you know, manufacturing takes a while, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they have to design these toys on a totally separate pipeline and blah, blah, blah. And then there's other companies that are not a film company or a trailer company involved, and they may not have as good a security. So, like, you kind of understand why that often screws up. But, yeah.
There's, I think to your point about at least Robert Downey Jr. or Tony Stark, Iron Man on Titan, it would really, I think everyone's been so vocal about not undercutting anything that happened in Endgame and Infinity War, I guess by extension, that looking back that way does not feel like what's going to happen. I feel like also a lot of people in the comments today are saying like fun meta stuff, right? Well-rounded mom saying Feige and Kevin, like from She-Hulk the robot, in a room together.
Yes.
That's pretty fun, right?
Yes.
I don't know if that is like the mind-blowing, we can't tell anyone, like secrecy thing, but that is something meta like that is fun.
I also think like something cool they could do, we were speculating about this before, right? We know like part of this movie is playing with the idea of like Disney now owns Fox,
yeah,
and kind of like, oh, welcome to the MCU, Kevin Feige, all this kind of stuff. What if Deadpool visits other Disney-owned properties?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's Disney and Ewan McGregor's Deadpool and Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan?
Okay.
What if it's animated Deadpool, you know, interacting with Disney animation characters, Buzz and Woody or whatever, you know, like that's Pixar, but you get what I'm saying. Like, could that be the super meta crazy thing that's really mind blowing?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what HRS13 was saying. It's either like him in the post, in, like in a random movie, probably a Disney thing, or even like him like in the cinema, like watching the movie we just watched. And he was like, oh, that was pretty good, guys.
Very,
or whatever.
Very Blazing Saddles ending.
Oh,
that'd be great.
What if he just kills Mickey Mouse?
Oh my God.
Goes back in time and kills Mickey Mouse?
Is it copyright secured? someone said, Steven 608 saying Henry Cavill's MC Wolverine. Henry Cavill, is that an actor that we think would move the needle for casting reveal?
We all know my stance on Henry Cavill. The more is the better.
The more is the better?
That's, I mean, I can't brain when he's thinking on it. My brain thinking Henry Cavill.
Are you jazzed for that Warhammer series he's going to do?
Oh, I will be so into Warhammer, like, from now on.
Okay.
Whatever he wants me to like, I will like it.
Wow.
GSU Eagles saying Deadpool shows up in the Flash cameo scene, like in the end of the Flash where they're doing all the cameos from across. That would be wild if it was like a weird DC cameo thing. That would be
truly unexpected.
They'd get sued.
Well, I mean, they would have to do it together.
You think, hey, James Gunn, they got a friend over there at the company now, right? Maybe.
I know.
James Gunn feels like he would be buddies with Ryan Reynolds, doesn't he? They have a similar comedic aesthetic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both busy. So. I'm not saying that either of them have time for that, but yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, some other ones from the chat here. Black Dragonfly kind of saying what Maude was saying. They're in the universe where Monica Rambeau is at the end of the Marvels.
Yes.
I think a big X-Men setup, that would be, I'm in alignment with you guys. I think that would be pretty big. Brendan starts saying Sam Rockwell is Doom. Interesting.
That's not stop the press. I don't think.
I do think like a Doom reveal would be pretty dope. Setting up like the new Thanos or whatever, the new big bad.
It would have to be Doom, big casting though, right?
Doctor Doom with the Rock's Doom cameo from that movie based on a video game. You put all the Dooms in a room. Room of Doom.
Oh my gosh,
why are we writing this down?
Room of Doom.
Write it down in the tomb.
Doom.
And, tomb.
Let it cook.
I know, worse.
Can you smell?
John and I were saying before, what if they kill all the kings in the post-credit scene?
Damn.
You're welcome, Feige. I did it.
Just like Deadpool standing over a giant mountain of dead gangs or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't think they'd do that. That would not get signed off.
Probably don't want anything to do with that story in general.
Yeah,
that's probably.
True.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Anything with Loki? there's something with Loki at the end there.
I think Phantom
was suggesting it.
Loki's going to be in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he's going to play all of the timelines like a harp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
specifically, that is what I think will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Loki will be like, ooh, that tickles.
Craigus Maximus saying it's an Eric Voss cameo on a New York street yelling, it's Mephisto.
Hell yeah, dude. He's available. Call him up.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have to shoot that real quick. Unless, would it be wild for us if Eric had done that and we didn't know about it?
All the trades know about it.
All the trades know about it. That's right.
I also think we need to manage expectations.
That too. That's true. And is it like, I feel like we've been on a run of maybe like disappointment with post credits or...
Just over-promising and non-delivery.
Yeah, I mean, Nosley Padrian, I think, was saying, like, what if it's, like, a Kamala Khan thing, post-credits scene? It would be great to see, right? Like, Kamala Khan and, like, a young Avengers lineup that's akin, like, some new characters, some old characters, akin to the X-Men setup. Mm-hmm. But to your guys' point, maybe, yeah, I think we're becoming, as an audience that really likes this stuff, you know, like, maybe too conditioned on expecting, like, a lot out of these post-credits scenes, right? These scenes definitely shouldn't define a movie, for sure. The movie should be great on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these should be, like, bonus, you know?
And we were talking about it earlier. You would, I mean, again, it's the cherry on top of a good film experience when you have a great post-credits scene. But you hope that the scene that sticks with you the most or the moments you love the most in the movie are not in the post-credit scene.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that means that the movie was not very good. You hope that the most the things you cannot get out of your brain were within the actual part of the film.
Well, usually the two-parter was like, the first post-credit was an addition, like an aftermath of something that was revealed in the movie.
Right.
So it's like, and we're gonna give you a glimpse of what that looks like. And then the second post-credit was to kick into the next thing as the teaser,
yes.
As a really great way to, like, the thread that ties it all together. We just haven't really had that in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, pretty evident with the fact that, like, you know, Marvel had, like, the kind of Disney Plus mandates that got stretched too thin, didn't know what was coming next, really. Like, it's like, yeah, you can say here the next, like, 5 years of projects, but, like, well, we could say titles, but what's actually happening in the story to for all of those to connect? Mm. I guess one final thing to round it out here. My Time Shine also kind of tweeted that today that Chris Evans has signed a contract that he'll be returning for Secret Wars. This is a rumor. And that he'll be playing Johnny Storm, Deadpool, and Wolverine. That's something Mods
I called that one.
Yep.
Last week, this time last week. So essentially saying, I think, because we were talking about ideal cameos that we would like to see in Deadpool and Wolverine. And mm-hmm. I said, I would love to see Chris Evans, but not as Captain America. And there's this whole moment where essentially Deadpool, as a way to break the fourth wall, is like, wait, aren't you? And he's like, no. And he flames on instead. And so now this rumor's kind of happening.
Yeah.
So maybe they just know that what women want.
Chris Evans playing multiple roles?
Yeah.
Chris Evans bathed in flame.
Bathed in flame. You know, one of my favorite metal bands. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a good name.
I do think that, like, any one actor, unless it's like a name that you said earlier that is like would be like, there's no way Marvel would get, or they would say yes to Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not an actor of that caliber, any one actor is probably not enough for people to react this way. I think it's like, yeah, okay, Captain America's coming back, but we all, like, we kind of feel that in the air. I don't know. It feels like that's going to happen.
That's because it's happening in X-Men 97.
Right. Yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. He's still around. He's present, you know, and
can't keep a good cap down.
Right, right. And also, like, kind of the how, like, Sam Wilson's Captain America also could, like, reconcile, like, his being Captain America with, like, a previous Captain America.
I like, if this ends up happening, if this ends up being true, I like him showing up as Johnny Storm, not as Captain America. Because, A, that saves the more powerful return as Captain America for the Secret Wars film when it really hits. And it's weird to have Steve Rogers' Captain America show up in a movie right before an actual Captain America movie that he won't be in.
Yeah.
That's that kind of undercuts that movie a little bit, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to see him as Captain America in this, in Deadpool.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point. Yeah. So I think, like, even if it is older actors returning, it would have to be a group of them for some reason. It would have to be, like, finding the Avengers in, like, a peak time of their lives and be like, you can't tell anyone about this.
Do we see one or two post-credit scenes in Deadpool?
Two? Yeah.
Okay. I think two is reasonable. Maybe one is a jokey joke one. And one, as you said, kind of is a big reveal, cameo, something like that, that augurs for the future of Marvel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone in the chat was saying, like, what if it's... I think you already said that he's just announcing the slate, right? That would be wild if he was just announcing.
What if it goes, if like you're there opening night, the first screening or whatever, and it just goes live to Hall H? Wouldn't that be nuts? You had to be there for the first screening. Otherwise, you know, I bet if we get a jokey post credit and then like a more substantive one, that's the mind blowing one. The jokey one, do you think it's Deadpool and Blind Owl doing cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
And some joke about, like, we couldn't put it in the full part of the movie, post-credit, Feige's already asleep or whatever.
Are the kids gone? That's it, 100%. Great. Thanks for all the suggestions in the chat.
Everyone. Yeah.
Those were fun to talk about and discuss. Yeah. Keep your favorite ones in your head and hope for the best.
No. Come back. It's a scoop that you got access to and put it all out in the
web. That's right.
All
right. Self-addressed stamped envelope. Mail it to yourself. So it's, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for watching. For all the positive comments you've already put in this video, their comments about our appearances, about the things we had to say.
My lustfulness to Henry Cavill, I think, got a mention, but I mean, you're not wrong. So,
give us a follow on Twitch if you're watching this on YouTube and you haven't already consumed this content on Twitch live, 3:05 sharp most weekdays. Follow Maud on all the various social channels to keep up with what she's doing.
Yay!
Book clubs and appearances and things like
sure
that.
Sure am. Maud Garrett, at Maud Garrett, or just look up Maud's Book Club. We've got a cool Discord community there if you need book recommendations. We're filling out the slate for the year. There's some good reads.
Great. Ooh. Absolutely. Also threw in the comments, how do you feel about Spevin as a nickname for Evan? Super producer Evan Spevin. Can you pitch an alt?
I like Spevin, except when you do something that's not so super, it just has to get reduced to Pevin.
Just
Pevin. Like Pevin Sorbo.
Could it be?
It can get worse, is what I'm trying to say.
It can always get worse. Hey, follow Break Room on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. And we'll see you next time. Later,
skaters.
No, keep those pens popping. That's not a thing. It looks like you're smoking two cigarettes at once. What is this? This is horrible.
Look like some other stuff if you do it right.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.